Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
I want to talk about these Cubs and what they're doing.
Who's left on that team that you want to see play baseball? I'm not being mean.
I don't know. Have you seen Patrick Wisdom dance?
Yeah, that doesn't do it for me. Patrick Wisdom doesn't do it for
well,
me.
Well, it does on the Marquee Sports Network Twitter feed. That was funny. No, that's a very valid question. I think the people that you would pay to see in a Cub uniform, small, short list.
Yeah.
Okay, Wilson Contreras is the top of it.
Yes.
He's your biggest box office attraction right now.
Kyle Hendricks is
certainly there. Yeah. But, you know, he pitches once every 5 days.
I know.
He's not there.
Not every day.
Is there anybody in the everyday lineup?
Nick Madrigal?
No.
Totally Nick Madrigal?
No.
I agree with you about Nick Madrigal.
Okay. Ian Happ? No.
I'm sorry.
I'm not paying every day to see him hit 225 and work on his mechanics at the plate.
It's not his fault that they paid him. But the fact that they paid him has prevented them from paying other people. And that is just something that is in the back of your head when you watch him.
Without a doubt. So is your suggestion that either A, they realize that and lock up Wilson Contreras long term, or B, go out and sign a free agent that you would want to see play every day or pitch every fifth day that is worthy of being the most expensive baseball experience in the majors? Because that's the other thing. You know, at some point in time, you have to reflect who you are as an organization. And the Cubs, so far in this offseason, haven't done that.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You can't turn away for a second in the wide world of sports because 1,000 things are going to happen, David. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. What a Wednesday night it was. You're right. If you went jogging, if you went for a walk, if you unplugged for 90 minutes or so, you missed a lot. What a flurry of activity. You got the Cubs, you got Notre Dame, you've got MLB, you've got a lot of action, a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary when you add it all up. And I mean, the Bears news was pretty interesting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and their opponents news was pretty interesting. There is much to discuss. The Bulls were pretty interesting. I think you just go down the line. It's got to start with, I think we have to start with the Cubs because we're in Chicago and the Cubs made a move. And the Cubs, God bless them, went out and got themselves a player that will hopefully change their fortunes, right? This is a guy that you can line up in the rotation and feel good about that spot. This is a big upgrade to the pitching staff when you take him and you take hopefully a guy that will have a revival and you add it to what you have already. You start feeling better about the day in, day out workings of the Cubs. You could still use another superstar, don't get me wrong, but this is a move that sort of makes you happy about everything they're doing in the offseason.
This makes a statement. This reflects who they are. We asked them to show us who they are, and they went out before the deadline for the CBA expiring, and they showed us what they want to be, which is a contender next year. Not for the World Series necessarily, but when Jed Hoyer talks about being competitive in 2022. It was just empty talk and rhetoric until you do something of substance. And last night, signing Marcus Stroman is something of substance. This is somebody that's going to take the ball every fifth day. Durable, likable, fascinating pitcher, great addition to the North side. We'll talk about where he fits in the rotation. But yes, Mully, we were challenging the Cubs, kind of wondering and waiting, what are they going to do? Are they going to do anything except for kind of strategically fill their roster and fill some holes? This is big and bold, and I like it.
I like Marcus Stroman saying, getting me speaks to the point that it's not a complete rebuild. Right. I love that he says that. Because let's take a listen to it. I just love this.
I mean, I think them going out and getting me kind of speaks to that point. I think they're definitely in not a full rebuild. I think they definitely want to win now. You know what I mean? And obviously this is a city that's an incredible fan base, and baseball is a competitive sport. You never know what you're going to get going into any year. So I truly don't think you could go into any year and say it's necessary a rebuild, because you can have a bunch of young guys play to an incredible level, and you can play to you can kind of outplay how you're predicted to play. So I'm excited to compete here, and I'm coming in here to win. You know what I mean? I'm not just coming in here just to come in here. Like, I'm coming in here to compete and win with this group of guys that we have, and kind of bring that passion and that emotion, and just let it show to the crowd.
Love it.
There are two
that.
Things I really like about that, Mully, yep. About the way this unfolded. Number one, that he broke the news himself on his Twitter feed. This is somebody that is very active in social media. Mm-hmm. You can hear he likes to talk, and he's very good at it. So I like the fact that he broke the news himself. Sources say Marcus Stroman's reporting Marcus Stroman signed with the Cubs. The other thing, to get to Chicago, to take the physical, to get to the point where they were able to sign him and announce it last night, he told the story about him sprinting to the gate at LAX to get to Chicago on time. I like a guy who wants to be part of something that badly that he will do what he did to get here. I like that. I like what I hear. He does talk a lot, but we're here for that.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, just go to his Twitter feed or whatever, his social media. You can't help but like it. This is a likable guy. This is an outspoken, well-spoken man. And, you know, he's an adult. He's a 30-year-old man. This is not, you know, this should be a good contract where you're not paying for who he's been, although obviously that puts him in a different, salary range than other guys. But you're also paying for what he's going to be when you get him. And that's a very competitive, tough guy that should be out there on a rotation basis every fifth day.
It's a good contract. 3 years, $71 million. That's the price of playing poker. You get a top of the rotation. You know, not an ace, but that's what it costs to get a guy who's going to slide in at two or three. And he's durable. He does get the ball every fifth day. He did make 33 starts last year. So you're going to have to do that. I like the fact, Mully, he's already recruiting. He's already kind of trying to appeal to Carlos Correa via social media and say, join him in Chicago. Wouldn't that be something? Of course, all action ceases now, because as much fun as yesterday was, doesn't look like we're going to have many baseball announcements anytime soon.
Yeah, you know, I'm so disappointed. I didn't, and we'll get into it at the 5 at 5, but it's not that I didn't see it coming, because you saw it coming miles away, and you've seen it coming for more than a couple of years now. Certainly you knew this was headed that way. But I'm just disappointed that they can't, you know, there's so much at stake. And, baseball is healthy. The contracts seem pretty healthy. And maybe that's just the top of it. I understand there are other things that you need to deal with. But how could you not? I hate work stoppages. I hate the idea of a strike. And it's a work stoppage, not a strike. And you got to be careful about how you say it. But, man, do people realize the impact this has? Not necessarily, you know, it's the off season. I know the Hot Stove League was fun, but you're going to take a 2 month, 3 month break now and hope everybody's still interested when you decide, okay, we are going to go to camp because, yeah, we're going to have a season. Come on, man. Like, work on that. Get that done. Whatever. How can you be that far apart?
Yeah. Well, especially when you've had as much time as they have had to work on this, to kind of bridge that gap philosophically and otherwise. It's all about revenue distribution, free agency eligibility, and issues that basically make people want to roll their eyes or poke them out, one or the other. And I think that's the thing that makes it difficult to talk too much about. But, Mully, moving right along. Boy, during the Cubs action, during the MLB inaction, Notre Dame found itself a football coach right in the office down from Brian Kelly's vacant office. Marcus Freeman, the new head coach of the Fighting Irish, 35 years old. It's not official yet, but that's the way it's headed.
Yeah, he's a young man. He's a family man. I thought all of the stuff that came out, the idea that, you know, this coach is staying, that coach is staying, Tommy Rees going in front of the team to let him know, you know, not just that he's staying and he loves the place, but he believes they're going to win a national champion. I loved every element of it, given the tenor of things when you have Brian Kelly leave. It was just a, if you're a Domer, if you're a Notre Dame fan, or if you're just an observer of college sports, some things are more important than money. That's the lesson that you learn when you hear that Tommy Rees could have made $400,000 more. The guy's not even 30. And he says, no, this is my place. I love it here. I love you guys. I got to tell you, man, that gets me in the feels, David, right in the feels.
You can't measure passion. And you know what? You can't ignore it either. And when you saw Tommy Rees talk in front of the team in the way that Brian Kelly did earlier, you saw a difference between, you know, obviously somebody that leaving town and somebody committed to stay. I like Luke Fickell as a football coach. I think he's a terrific head coach at Cincinnati and would have been a great fit at Notre Dame. I don't want to be inconsistent and flip-flop from the original position. But I also understand why Notre Dame moved quickly to hire Marcus Freeman. He's popular. He had the support of alums. He had the support internally. He's going to maintain recruiting momentum. He is a young coaching star. And even though he doesn't have experience, I get why they elevated him at this point in time, because there's a lot at stake in moving and a lot to be gained from moving quickly. So there might have been others who make more sense long term, and you may one day look back and wish you would have taken a deep breath if you're Jack Swarbrick. But, Mully, Marcus Freeman has Notre Dame excited. And, yes, they are an underdog story. If they get into the college football playoff Final Four, wouldn't that be something if they were able to sneak in and make some noise?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to what you said there. I think it's a very – there's a real onion here. And, you know, obviously that includes some tears. And I do like that contrast between – kind of Mr. Business, I'm here for the money, versus the I can't leave this place and I believe in it. Yeah, if you haven't followed the story since it started, and it's been a whirlwind, to get to this point as quickly as you have is pretty astounding. And frankly, I think it does protect next year's recruiting class. It does protect the university from a major step backwards. Not that there won't be kind of a shift, but you know, you got a lot of young, energetic, hopeful young men. I think you can get on that story. You can wrap your mind around it. I also think that there is still the element of you don't know what you don't know. And that is out there when you're dealing with people that are doing something they haven't done before at the highest level. And so there is a leap of faith. But, I mean, if it works out, it's one of the greatest stories ever told.
It really
is.
And
if it doesn't, you've got a serious issue that you'll have to resolve in a few years.
And in fairness, for comparison's sake, you know, you look at Ohio State when Urban Meyer left, and they did pretty well by elevating his assistant. Not that that's going to be the same type of thing exactly, but there is a model out there, and we see why they would want to do it that way. Here's another thing that's telling that also helps make your point, how difficult it is to
measure passion and why it does matter. Brian Kelly went to LSU for the money and for the access to the national championship, and we can respect that. We understand that. He also went with the assumption internally from what you hear and what you talk to people that he was going to be taking the staff with him. You know how many assistants stayed at Notre Dame? Five. Not exactly the Pied Piper of college football, okay? Brian Kelly's workmanlike approach to his job is showing very much right now. He wins games, but he doesn't make friends. And he doesn't really foster these kind of relationships that you see, as we said yesterday. You're not going to see much footage of Brian Kelly tearing up on senior day. That's not who he is. Who he is a guy who's going to take the money and run to Baton Rouge.
But see, here's the thing. And I'm not arguing that point. I just don't know how relevant it is when you consider Nick Saban leaving Michigan State and he's going to hire his assistants and the plane is there. Everybody get on board. And guess what? No one wanted to go. And Nick Saban ends up winning a national championship and he ends up as the best coach in college football. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. Good point.
As much as we like that story, as it's a great – you know, there are other examples of guys. You don't really – if you got the guy, you'll get the other guys. That's kind of the point of the whole thing. I love that they felt this – you know, again, these are young coaches. These are guys that are, as you say, it's the passion versus the economics of it. But, boy, when you got that overlord, it kind of helps.
Thank you for checking me. Okay, last quick point on that. When you're talking about LSU, yes, he can win no matter who his assistants are, no matter how many people followed him to Baton Rouge. But from a Notre Dame perspective, I think it's very telling that these coaches decided to stay and invest in themselves and the place. Notre Dame still sells Notre Dame best regardless of who the coach is. That's the point and the takeaway. So you have that sort of emotional investment in that program that if you're Jack Swarbrick, you'd like to see because that matters.
I'm not arguing with any of those points, and I hope it works. But I'd rather have Nick Saban. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying that Brian Kelly's Nick Saban, by the way. But I just think that it's a difficult one to kind of, as I said, you keep peeling that onion, and you're going to have some tears coming out of your eyes. That's all. It's just the nature of the business. If only, you know, youth and passion were all this required.
I just want them to get in the Final Four, Marcus Freeman to take over. And you know what? You made the 1989 Michigan reference yesterday, and I want to see that happen with Notre Dame. They are a compelling underdog story if they get in.
All right. We got to get to the 5 at 5. Tons to talk about, all sorts of Bear stuff, too. We'll get into it next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767 or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was your reaction to the Cubs signing Marcus Stroman to a 3-year, $71 million contract? What does this say about the Cubs' intentions in 2022?
Well, what was his catchphrase? I think he trademarked it. Height doesn't measure heart. Is that it, Dustin? Are you you cling to that, I believe, if I'm not mistaken? And I didn't even know he's not the largest of men, but he's got the biggest of hearts. That's his idea. So I think it does really impact the Cubs in a number of different ways. I think that, you know, it's great that they went out and got something done, and they did it at the trade deadline. It's kind of one of these unexpected kind of moves where I thought they were done. I know what they were saying. And I thought they were kind of budgeting, and now they've gone out and they've got a player, and it's there's a lot to it. There's a lot. It's a really interesting move, and it signals that all the noise they've been making is sincere, that they really are going to get things done in a different fashion. And I think if you don't feel good about it, then you know, you're wrong. It spells out to me that they are going to start bringing these guys up, and that, you know, if he's on a 3-year deal, that they believe they'll be in contention in the next couple seasons, and that's a good thing to know.
Yeah, it's HDMH apparel, and that's Marcus Stroman. Height doesn't measure heart, and it's meant to inspire and encourage society, in his words, while motivating the youth to overcome adversity and chase their dreams. That's what Marcus Stroman's all about. He lets you dream a little if you're a Cub fan. He lets you think about being ambitious for 2022. He lets you kind of get a little carried away. And I think when the news of his signing broke on his Twitter feed, it was okay for a moment, Molly, to get a little carried away, because it, you know, it's December, it's the hot stove league. These are the kinds of things you want your team to be engaged in. You want your general manager to look like he means what he says when he says we're going to spend intelligently, we're going to be aggressive, and you don't want to poke holes in those words and try to find ways that he's not coming through on a promise. Marcus Stroman helps begin to fulfill that promise of contending, competing, being competitive in 2022. That's what it says. It says that you don't have a plan necessarily to rebuild and to strip it bare and to start all over, because if you did, why would you spend and invest as much as potentially $71 million in the next three seasons if they don't mean anything? So if they're going to mean something, that's fun. That's good. And to hear Stroman talk during his Zoom session and to see what he put out there on the social media feed inviting Carlos Correa to join him in Chicago, it makes you wonder what is next. It suggests that there's something more. Whether it's Correa, whether it's Trevor Story, it's got to be somebody else of that caliber maybe to add to the lineup, because now you've supplemented your pitching rotation with a guy who started 33 games last year. He's not going to maybe contend for the Cy Young, but he's going to be a guy that lets you compete. And that was fun to see and great to hear. And congratulations, Jed Hoyer, for going big and going bold.
Yeah, big and bold. I'm not sure which story hit me more over the head and didn't see it coming. Brian Kelly bolting for LSU, and I'm not necessarily too terribly upset with that, but let's talk this time next year, and I'll let you know how I feel about that. And I did not see the Cubs yesterday, at least, on did not see. I'm like, wait, what? I heard Matt Spiegel talking that he was hearing things and that things were getting warmer. I heard that right here on the Score. I started scurrying, looking around, calling some friends, texting some people that are big, like, you know, what do you think? Is this possible? And then when you see the contract, and this is what, to David's point, what's interesting is it would be very foolish. And I don't think we can say what we want about Ricketts and the Cubs right now and what we believe and what we don't believe. I don't think you'd spend $50 million on Strom and not add to this. Like, that would make no sense. Why would you just pay him $50 million over the next 2 years, potentially 71 over the next three? But let's just start with the $50 million over 2 years. If you don't do anything else, then that's just dumb. That's just not baseball smart. So there's something else. There is a everyday player coming. And that also means that why would you at this point dump Wilson Contreras? The Cubs were desperate for a backup catcher. You can't run that guy and bury him into the ground. So you extend Contreras, you sign another everyday player, and then, yes, there is a buzz going into 22 for the Cubs.
That's a great question.
How do you think the signing of Marcus Stroman potentially affects other possible Cubs moves this offseason, when and if they're able to make them? Will it affect the thinking on Wilson Contreras? How about chasing other big-name, high-cost position players? Maybe Trevor Story or Carlos Correa? Anybody else?
Well, continuing on that theme, Dustin, I think you're exactly right. You're not done yet. You're just getting started if you sign somebody to a pretty... Look, nobody is saying that you're underpaid when you're making $24, $25 million a year almost. But it is a modest investment in terms of the marketplace. When you look at what other front-of-the-line pitchers were going for in this free agent period, Marcus Stroman arguably was the third highest-rated starter available. Max Scherzer speaks for himself. Robbie Ray, you know, obviously was the guy who was next on everyone's list, I would imagine. Then Marcus Stroman, and the Cubs got him for $71 million. So there's a suggestion that more is on the way. Now, who that would be? You know, whoever they can strike a deal with. But I do feel like you're right. I do feel like there's a position player
that's still coming that's going to make a big impact in that lineup, because it's just you can build around pitching, but you need some offense as well, and your lineup remains broken. So you have Stroman. We'll talk about how he fits in the rotation later, but Story's still out there. Yeah, Correa's still out there, and the Cubs were one of the four teams, I think, mentioned in terms of one of the national reports kicking the tires on what it would cost to get Carlos Correa. Everything hits pause now for a while, which is kind of frustrating, but I do think there's that sense that they aren't done yet.
Yeah, you know, I think the negotiations hit pause, but I don't think it's I think people within the industry can still talk, and I think you can work some deals out, and I think there will be some business done, just not really on the free agent market. But, you know, Dustin, you answered the question. It is, you know, it's your answer is to the first question is answering the second question. And need you in Chicago, my dog, is what he sent to the Twitter message that was sent to Carlos Correa. So I think that that they definitely need Carlos Correa to be the dog that comes in and howls through the night. I don't know what the hell that metaphor is. But goodness gracious, would he help, and would that be something special? And all of a sudden, you know, things fall into a lineup around a guy if you make a move like that. I think they should definitely go ahead and do something like that. I like the idea that he's here, that he's recruiting, and it does – you need that one piece. You need that one player, that star player, to kind of to tie in all these other guys, if you will. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that that happens.
You add somebody like Story, Correa, or even take it down a peg or two, Kyle Schwarber, and all of a sudden you got something. You got something that people can believe in. And I love a Major League Baseball player. I love professional athletes that are willing to recruit other professional athletes. I love that. I know that's not their job. I know they don't have to do that. But as a fan, I love that. The other thing that we're going to keep an eye on, at least I'm going to keep an eye on, is did the Cardinals or Cubs get it right with the starting pitcher that they signed via free agency? I think there is, for the fans anyway, there's a connection. Is Stroman going to be better than Matz? Is that something, you know, will one of these guys tilt the division to one of the other teams? And I understand that the Brewers have the reigning NL Cy Young. I just feel like the Brewers are smoke and mirrors. I just can't fall in love with the Brewers, and the Reds are selling off once again. So the Reds and the Pirates aren't even a question right now. But I think that the balance of power could be in the hand, if you will, of either Stroman or Matz as this thing plays out.
What's interesting, Dustin, about that is Stroman and Matz, as much as they were former Mets teammates, I believe, they were former high school rivals in the state of New York, pitching against each other. And I do think that's an interesting point, but don't you think it's got to be Stroman? I mean, Steven Matz isn't going to mean as much to the Cardinals' rotation as Marcus Stroman should to the Cubs.
Oh, no, not as much, no. But I think that I think it's just interesting. Will Cub fans regret Stroman and wish they had Matz, or vice versa? Like, would the Cardinals say, geez, why couldn't we have gotten ahead of the Cubs on Stroman instead of Matz? I just think, you know, right, how those two pitch this coming season for their teams, I think will have a massive effect on where those teams go. Fair enough. As a potential postseason berth.
Yep.
Nobody wants to answer questions like that.
Any surprise at all that MLB and the MLBPA failed to find some 11th-hour solution and now enters the 9th work stoppage in history and the first in 26 years? How long will this lockout last? Do you believe training camps will open on time around February 26th? What about opening day on March 31st? What about television ratings and attendance issues? Will they be impacted?
Listen, it's always going to leave a mark. People hate this stuff. You know, MLB sent out some letter. I got to tell you, last thing I want popping into my email box is a letter from MLB explaining to me what their situation is from their perspective. Thanks anyway. Get it done. It's incumbent upon you to have avoided this. I'm peeved that it's happened. It's been a while, but man, what is it, the ninth MLB stoppage, whether it be strike or lock? Give me a break. This is stupid. You're asking us to choose again between billionaires and millionaires. You said it, David. All this is about is the economic splits in Major League Baseball. That's all it is. So it all comes down to like, they're arguing about the economics. They're miles apart. It's about the distribution of wealth, blah, blah, blah. People like watching games. They don't like this element of it. And if you start affecting games, and we'll see how far this thing goes. And you know, you mentioned the dates of when things are going to start. I can't tell you how annoying it is. You know, you get baseball's picking up. Okay, here we go. Look at these signings. Oh, my God. He went where? Oh, how is this team going to look? Now it's okay. Well, they got to argue about money for 3 months. Yeah, wake me up when the season starts. It just robs you of so much momentum, enthusiasm, you name it. Just crazy.
I would first like to thank you for your continued support of the great game of baseball this past season. That's the way the letter started. And it got more boring and patronizing from there. You're right. Nobody wants to go to MLB.com and see every story referring to a current player removed and this letter from Rob Manfred greeting you at the website. Nobody wants to go through this. We're going to have to go through this. I think it's going to be, you got a couple months to play with, and you've got, you know, probably beginning of February, today's December 2nd, by February 2nd, Groundhog Day, if you will. I think that's the deadline. If you don't have an agreement by then you start to worry about spring training being pushed back. Then you start to worry about the season being pushed back, games being lost, faith being lost, interest being squandered, and an opportunity being missed. You're right. Think about the last 48 hours, how you felt about your team, getting excited about the moves that were made, getting excited about the potential lineups in your head and the pitching rotations. This is all about money, and people hate talking about money. This is ridiculous. They have $1.5 billion in television revenue to divide every year. This game isn't hurting that badly economically. They have issues, but there's fighting about the revenue distribution, the salary floor, tanking. You've got 12 of the 30 teams on opening day last year had a payroll under $100 million. That's got to stop. There's got to be something that balances the ledger a little bit more evenly than it is now. There are issues to be figured out, but it's all about money. Nobody's having a work stoppage because of the 10th inning rule or the DH or because the pace of play. Those things matter, but it's all about money. Get it figured out, and you've got 2 months to do so.
Yeah, and I understand why we're talking about it today. That's what we do. I get that. No doubt about it. But I'd much rather talk about Marcus Stroman. I'd much rather talk about what Rick Hahn had to say yesterday. I'd much rather talk about who else either the Cubs or White Sox will get. Until they miss a game, until training camps, pitchers and catchers don't report when they're supposed to, will I personally feel weird about it? It seems pretty simple. If the owners want expanded playoffs, meaning TV wants extended playoffs, I fine with extended playoffs, more playoffs. Great. Gives my team a better chance to get into the postseason, and anything can happen. See the Braves this past year. Once you get into the tournament, anything can happen. But come on, MLB owners, if you do get that money from the networks, you got to share it with the guys that go over into the chalk line and play the game. It seems pretty simple. And there also has to be a minimum. There has to be a floor that MLB owners have to spend. And if the bigger clubs have to help them with that, fine, because the bigger clubs have to have teams to play. So there, I don't think there should be a cap, but there definitely should be a floor. MLB teams should have to spend X amount of money, and that would help in the air quote tanking issue that is also something the players are concerned about.
That's why I'm answering these questions right now, because I respect and understand where y'all are coming from your side.
Does the fact that Andy Dalton took all the first-team reps yesterday indicate to you that he will start against Arizona at Soldier Field on Sunday? Do you believe the Bears have a plan for both Dalton and Justin Fields, as Matt Nagy indicated? Will today tell the story?
I think they have a plan. I think it probably involves Andy Dalton. I think it was Michael Lombardi that told us, if Justin Fields is not in a position to take every snap this week and prepare with the first-team offense against what the Cardinals are going to offer in the way of a pass rush, blitz schemes, and just his overall preparation, you're going to have a young quarterback that's worried about protecting his ribs while he is diagnosing the blitz and calling the right cadence and doing the right thing. I just think it may be too much to ask this week, even though, you know, reports from people that were able to observe practice were that Justin Fields looked better than many suspected that he would, given the fact that Matt Nagy said last Friday he had cracked ribs. I am not a doctor. I don't even try to play one on TV or the radio, Molly. But I do think that if your ribs are cracked on Friday, they might be still a little vulnerable on the following Wednesday or Thursday. I would be very, very cautious. And it bears repeating that if I'm the Bears and I'm going in to face the best team in the National Football League right now, the Cardinals, with a pass rush that's pretty fierce, I would err on the side of caution, and I would say, Andy Dalton, this is why you're getting the first-team reps, because we're going to lean on you heavily on Sunday, no matter what. And I would maybe have Justin Fields be a spectator at Soldier Field.
Eight guys sat out practice, but Justin Fields went in a limited capacity. I don't buy this. We got to prepare two different plans. I think the preparation has begun with Andy Dalton as the starter, and I think that today will tell the story. If you can't go today, again, they played last Thursday, right? So if it's right, a week later and you can't go, I don't think with a young quarterback that you're going to try to rush him back. And I suspect at some level that Matt Nagy is kind of preparing to start Andy Dalton, and it sounded that way. Whether he meant it to or not, and I don't know if there's gamesmanship. I'm just saying, if you listen to what the guy said, you know, Dalton took all the starting reps. And if he does that again today, I think he's definitely starting on Sunday. The cracked ribs thing is interesting in a number of different ways. I think the reports were that it didn't show up on an X-ray, and it didn't show up on the CT scan, but they went back in and they found it on an MRI. And I think you go back and look because the guy is in some discomfort. You know, you don't have a cracked rib. No, everything's fine. You should be back. You know, something's going on here. Okay, let's take a look. Oh, boy, yeah, there's a bunch of cracks. And that's a cumulative effect, I believe. I don't think that's just the fact that he got hit. He's a really tough kid. And I think that if you left the decision in his hands, he would start on Sunday. But I think that Matt Nagy sounds like he's going with Andy Dalton. We'll see today.
Well, this is what's so confusing about it. What both of you have said in this answer is that if he's out there in a limited role, the Bears are doing him and themselves no favors. Like, he shouldn't have – he shouldn't have practiced. So now – the speculation continues, and now is he tough, and is this another one of these? Yesterday, Gary Fensick was on the station. He said there was no way that George McCaskey, that he knows, got involved with telling Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace that Justin Fields needed to start and that Andy Dalton should sit down. Well, Matt Nagy wants to win games, so is that why Andy Dalton is getting all the first-team reps, and does George say, well, you know, get him out on the practice? It keeps this thing going. Who's in charge? Who's making the decisions? Today will be very telling. If it goes from, you know, limited practice to did not practice, then obviously Andy Dalton will be the starter on Sunday at Soldier Field. I don't think there's any gamesmanship involved here. I don't think this is like, well, behind the scenes, we're gonna have them preparing for Dalton, and we're gonna unleash Justin Fields on them. The Justin Fields tape is out there. It's not like nobody's ever seen Justin Fields play. And from a fan standpoint, I think the fans going to the game on Sunday, I know me sitting on my couch on Sunday, I would like to see the quarterbacks of the future of the NFL. I'd like to see the young quarterbacks out there shining for their respective teams. That's a battle. They don't take on each other, but they lead offenses for the teams going head-to-head, and you'd like to see that. It looks like Kyler Murray is going to play for Arizona. That's going to happen, and you'd like to see what Justin Fields looks like in the same game, on the same field, on the same Sunday. But right now, I'd say it's 50-50 chance Justin Fields starts. So today is a big day for all of us to keep our eyes and ears on that.
Oh, boy. Good question.
Why did Notre Dame hire Marcus Freeman with more experienced, successful head coaching candidates like Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell available? How concerned are you about Freeman's experience or lack of it? He's 35 and has never been a head coach before.
Yeah, I think that's disconcerting. I think that's a problem. I think that, you know, I think there's a lot to like about the hire. There's a lot to like about the continuity. But I think it's also that's an issue. I think a guy that hasn't been a head coach before and is starting doing it now, I think he's a really good recruiter. I think he's a young guy. I think he's got a lot of energy. He's got beautiful kids. Did you see he's got six kids? They're just one better looking than the next, just a beautiful family. And that's a lot. It's a lot for a young guy, right? Wow. I mean, that is just a ton. What is that advanced?
That's a secondary.
Huh?
That's a secondary.
Oh, I like a lot about it is what I'm trying to say. And I hope it works. You know, the last time they moved a guy up, it was Bob Davey, and it didn't work. It didn't work. So we'll know pretty quickly if this is going to work or not. You know, he's operating under the constraints that exist at Notre Dame. I think it's great that they're bringing everybody back, and I think that that helps recruiting a ton. But I don't know. I mean, there's part of me that would prefer a more experienced, a more successful head coach. Even if you take a step back while you change some things, eventually guys that win are going to win. And, you know, they handled this well if indeed they get in the Final Four and they get a shot at it and all the rest of it. It's the right thing to do for this group. But I don't know that it's the right thing to do moving forward. I think we're all going to have to watch it unfold. It's a hell of a story.
I think Notre Dame is one of those places that risk is going to be involved with whoever you hire. So let's say Luke Fickell, the guy that I identified early as my number one choice. A lot of people, he was at the top of their list as well. There would have been risk involved in having him move from Cincinnati to Notre Dame. I think there's going to be inherent risk anyway. And what Notre Dame did was they leaned into what I believe is the modern college football model, where recruiting matters more than ever. The right. Recruiting calendar dictates more than it ever has. And you have this looming early signing day on December 15th, which I think compelled Jack Swarbrick to move quickly. You also had Brian Kelly's looming offer to Marcus Freeman and Tommy Rees and every member of the Notre Dame coaching staff to come join him in Baton Rouge. And if you gut your staff at this point in time, you might be doing, in their minds, some real long-term damage to the brand, to the product, to the consistency that Brian Kelly helped establish. So while I still value the experience you referenced, Mully, absolutely, that's the way I would have leaned if this were January 2nd or January 15th.
Right.
I get what Jack Swarbrick's doing. And I even think it's going to help excite people in a way they haven't been excited about Notre Dame football in a different way. You got a 35-year-old head coach. You got a 29-year-old offensive coordinator, a guy who represented you as a quarterback, who is passionate about coaching in South Bend. And all of a sudden, Notre Dame potentially enters this Final Four as an underdog. And wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if they snuck in? So Marcus Freeman has a tremendous challenge ahead of him as a 35-year-old with no head coaching experience. The good news is Notre Dame has as much to gain in supporting him with a staff of experienced guys who have been there and done that and giving him every resource he needs to succeed. And I think that he's well on his way.
I'm okay with it right now. You know, let's see. You got to give him a chance. I think the recruiting calendar is a huge part of it. I think the players' voices was a huge part of it. I think the fact that everywhere Freeman has been so far, the The defense has gotten better when he arrived. He helped raise it up a bunch. That's a big deal. I don't know Notre Dame's recruiting class enough to say which guy Freeman or which guy Reese is definitely attached to, but it's a game of poker, right? So Brian Kelly leaves. Brian Kelly wants both guys. Brian Kelly and LSU reported that they are willing to pay these guys ungodly amounts of money to come. And Notre Dame, if you had lost all three of those guys to LSU, that could have set Notre Dame back many, many years. And they're also in the midst of, are they going back to NBC? Are they going to go to Peacock? Like, where is Notre Dame football on television headed from a business standpoint? And Notre Dame is going to have the resources. No, Notre Dame probably wasn't willing to pay Brian Kelly $100 million. But we're going to find out in the next day or two, and there'll be guesses, like, what exactly are they paying Freeman? And if it doesn't work out after a couple of years, they'll be able to get away from Freeman and move on to somebody else. So I think right now I'm fine with it. I'm willing to give this a chance. But David talked about that it should potentially excite Notre. Like, I'm okay with it. I'm not excited about it. I would have been really ticked off had they lost all three guys. But it's not making me want to get to another Notre Dame game, buy more Notre Dame gear, pay for Peacock Plus if I have to, if that's even a thing. I don't know if Notre Dame moves to that platform. So it keeps me satisfied as a fan of Notre Dame, but it doesn't make me jump up and down at the moment.
But haven't you been surprised at how many Notre Dame fans have felt like jumping up and down at the prospect of Marcus Freeman being the head coach?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from them. I'd love them to tell us why, either via text or via the phone, 312-644-6767, why that is. I'm okay with the move. I'm not upset with the move, but it's definitely not making me, boy, I just can't wait for Notre Dame's bowl game because Marcus Freeman's leading the way. I just don't have that this morning.
312-644-6767. That is the number. Dustin is right, and he did a good tease there. So we'll find out what happens. Thanks, Dustin. Mully and Haw on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.